Why are there so few female musicians in jazz? The question is arising more and more often these days in the wake of the Me Too movement. NPR has asked this question too in recent years as it's examined its coverage of its annual and influential Jazz Critics Poll. In so many years, women barely show up in the rankings. If women are not present in jazz, it's often assumed to be because they can't play well enough or maybe they play the wrong instruments. It's likely, though, that some female musicians find the professional environment hostile. In recent years, we've seen extensive reporting about sexist assumptions in the jazz industry, as well as accounts of sexual harassment. Clearly, changes are still needed. Now, a conversation with three local musicians to discover their experience and challenges in the jazz industry. With us, saxophonist Ariana Namati. That's her you just heard in our opening, playing Liberty Park. Ariana, nice to see you again. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Pianist Leslie McLean is also joining us today. Leslie, good morning.
Hi, nice to be here.
And singer Ebony Fondren is also with us. Ebony, good to have you as well.
Good morning. Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, Ebony, why don't we begin with the three of you talking about why you fell in love with jazz to begin with? What is it about the music that drew you in?
Oh, gosh. I think it just, the mood, the lyrics, the way it just, it transports me to a place that I feel like I should have been a part of it to begin with. Hmm. So it's just a connection for me. I just love it. I love singing the music, being in the bandstand as opposed to on it, just, you know, in the midst of all the music. It just speaks to me. So
Ariana, how about you?
Yeah, I would have to say I have to give Bobby Watson you know, my gratitude, because
I've heard that name before.
Yeah. He was the first real jazz musician that I heard perform. And after that, I was hooked.
He just lit you up.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's all his fault.
Leslie, how about you?
Well, my dad loved big band music, and he played a lot of records, and I just thought this music was really neat, and the swing rhythm just really attracted me. Hmm. And later on, you know, Latin jazz and some fusion, but really my heart is with the swing rhythms, and that's what really attracted me initially. And then I wanted to play in the high school jazz band. And I worked very, very hard on my chords. My mother was a musician. She taught me my chords so that I could try out for the jazz band.
Well, let's get into this then. Ebony, to what extent is jazz still male-dominated? What do you see out there?
Oh, gosh. Quite a bit. I mean, as far as band leaders go, mostly headlining most clubs, most places, all you see, you know, are male-led groups. Where you see, I think, vocalists historically have predominantly been women, but as far as band leaders, bandstands, instrumentalists, it's just always been very male-dominated, and it still is. I mean, you know, that's just... Yeah,
just the way it is, you know, Ariana.
Yeah, I mean, I just think history perpetuated that, and you know, through whether it was education or the lack of encouragement for female artists to pick up an instrument, it's just sort of been historically perpetuated in that way.
I was going to say, you know, Ariana, I think I'm guilty of this. You know, I think about the history of the music, and I think about Coltrane, and I think about Ellington and Louis Armstrong and maybe Count Basie and Miles Davis and Thelonious Monk and Dave Brubeck. And I haven't mentioned a single woman in that lineup there. So that clearly is a big factor here, right?
Yeah. I mean, those household jazz names that you get, it's always males, you know, but there was always a woman right alongside those guys, playing, writing. They just seem not to get mentioned so much. They're just not those common names.
But the fact that the history is so replete with men, that clearly would, women would look at that and think there's not room here for me in this industry, right?
You could look at it that way, but I think you just have to dig deeper, you know, to find, oh, okay, like Mary Lou Williams was writing for all these people.
Even right here in Kansas City at times.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And they were, the female were active just at the same time as these men were active. But they just got left out, you know, of being mentioned.
The credits, per se.
Yeah.
Well, Leslie, you go back a little farther in this music than our other two guests. Has it always been this way based on what you've seen in your career?
Yes, it's always been this way. Of course, back when I started out, it was far, far worse. You know, one of the reasons I decided to just kind of absent myself from this male-dominated world and do my own trio. I was really never a side person because, I wanted to do my own thing. I was writing my own music and, you know, that kind of thing. But the other part of it was that I just did not want to play with people that were hostile towards me, unwelcoming, or constantly hit on me.
Right, right. So how did you make your way, Leslie? I mean, you say you formed your own trio along the way, but I'm just guessing that the road has been pretty rocky at times.
It's been very rocky. In fact, I actually stopped playing with my trio in 1981 and started doing other things. I took a church job. I did a lot of freelance accompanying, which I actually still do. I just couldn't, at that point, I just felt like I couldn't fight it anymore. And a part of what I was fighting is definitely the male-dominated thing. It was also the tenor of the times. You know, the disco craze really hurt jazz. And it hurt the kind of jazz that I like to play, which is the swing rhythms. A lot of the you know, really, really big guys, you know, Chick Corea and Herbie Hancock come to mind right away. And even Miles Davis, you know, started putting out jazz fusion type of things in order to survive, in order to continue their careers, you know, and so forth. You know, it just, it was bad for a time. We came back to it. We played jazz here and there and did, you know, little things here and there. Jerry and I got married in 77, so we were always a kind of a team, and we did different things, and I played jazz in my church jobs and so forth. But we didn't come back and playing in clubs again until 2003. It just got so hard to get booked, to you know, to fight the fight what was going on in the society, and also the male dominated thing. It just got too hard.
Well, Ebony and Ariana, I wanted to ask both of you about this notion again that I have in my head, that there are plenty of women jazz singers out there. You see that more commonly, but playing a horn, playing the drums isn't nearly, you don't see that as much. Ariana, why is that a distinction? What's happening on that front?
It's hard to say. I think a lot of young women, maybe they don't get exposed to seeing a female actually playing an instrument. 'Cause, I mean, if you look up, like we were talking about earlier, it's like your household jazz names are all male.
Right.
And so, you know, maybe they're interested in it when they're younger, but they don't ever have that, like, female inspiration or somebody to look up to and see, oh, this person was also doing it.
But why is, what I'm wondering is, why is that the case? I mean, why do you have men playing horns, but you don't see women doing it as much?
I think it's just like from history.
Yeah, just the way it's been.
Yeah.
What made you think you could?
I didn't think about it. I just did it.
Really. There you go.
Yeah. That's sounds familiar.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think it's from a early standpoint, from an educational standpoint, from a interest standpoint, having somebody encourage that interest mm-hmm. in a young woman who says, hey, you know, dad, I want to play the drums, or, you know, or hey, music teacher or whatever, I want to play bass, or I want to play drums, or I want to play horn. And it's like, oh, you should play the mm-hmm. flute, or you should play the clarinet, or, you know, something more quote unquote girly, you know. And mm-hmm. I've heard mm-hmm. stories of this, the discouragement of young mm-hmm. women who wanted to take on a more traditional type of male instrument, you know, and you know, moving them into something that is considered more of a feminine type of instrument. And so I think a lot of it starts in, you know, the education system and having somebody to just encourage those women and help, you know, like keep the fire under that interest for them.
You know, Leslie McLean, you told our producer, Reggie David, that women tend to get turned away from jazz at a very young age. You've seen that yourself.
Yes. It's very hard. It was very hard to pursue my jazz playing when I got started. It was very hard to pursue it without, how do I explain? What were my role models? Okay, we were talking about role models. And I was very interested in Mary Lou Williams, Mary mm-hmm. McPartland, you know, whenever I saw or heard of a woman that was playing jazz, that was mm-hmm. that I gravitated towards that person as a role model. Because in my own life, what I found was being shut out, being made fun of. I think a lot of the perception in terms of horn, piano, drums, all that kind of stuff, is that women don't have the physical strength that men do to play.
Hey, can I ask, you know, Ariana, is that an issue for you?
Again, I didn't really think about it, mm-hmm. and I don't feel like it is.
Yeah, yeah. How tough of a road have you traveled to get where you are today? How would you describe how busy you are today, Ariana, and what's ahead for you?
Well, I'm very thankful to be here in Kansas City because there are so many musical opportunities. And yeah, it's been a lot of playing, getting myself out there,
mm-hmm.
So people know me.
Is it changing at all? Are you sensing more acceptance, more openness to bringing you on the bandstand?
It seems like the same people who have been welcoming to that idea. It's kind of the same group of people.
And the group is not expanding?
It's hard to say. Yeah.
Ebony, what do you see out there right now in terms of it? Is it getting better?
You know, I think it's about the same. I think a lot of women who want to do it, like Ariana and like Leslie, their mind is made up and they're determined to just do it. And so whether that means forging their own road, creating their own bands, writing their own music, you know, and just putting themselves out there, from a vocalist standpoint, obviously it's, you know, easier starting out to just be invited onto the bandstand with band leaders, which is what I, you know, grew in my earlier years is what I did. But I would say, you know, being able to, as a vocalist, be your own band leader and not be a player per se is also difficult, because it's like most places are, it's instrumental driven. You know, you sometimes get pushback that places don't want vocalists, but I just don't find that to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Just from feedback from audiences, from staff, you know, from a lot of it is, you know, things are set, club owners, bar owners, you know, they're just used to something that's easy and the way it used to be and not open to new things, and it's about the numbers and less about the music, and
right,
you know, there's just so many things that go into play with that. And so you know, I every now and then you see a horn player or a bass player here and there, and there are newer groups and newer band leaders that are making an effort to mm-hmm. be open and inclusive, but there's not a lot to choose from, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I think because of, you know, the road is so bumpy and hard.
Yeah. You know, Leslie, you've said that club owners even today tend to pair women players with other women and men with men. Why do you think that happens?
Well, I think that that's an unfortunate thing that happens, because we talk about women in jazz. Okay, and kind of what that does is it sets us up in a little area of you girls go play over here with other girls, isn't that that's your women in jazz.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like this. I like to see women and men playing together.
Mm-hmm.
That. You know, I like playing with women players. Ariana and I have played together numerous times, and, you know, she knows how much I love her. And if there are opportunities that come up, yes, you know, I would look to my friend Ariana before I would look to a gentleman player.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I'm not going to have other men players in the group with us. But the group is female led. You know, it's, you know, my music, it's whoever, you know, is on the other instruments, whatever original music they have. And the men are going to play our music, you know, mm-hmm. just like we play theirs. And I really feel like that's the answer more than,
right.
More than setting us apart. Mm-hmm. As women in jazz, I like the men that I play with, you know, I'm married to one of them, so I really like it. But you know, it's exciting to play. One of the things that excites me about playing jazz is when I'm playing with people that, through their strength and their commitment and to the music that they're playing, It goes through everybody. It's infectious.
Right, right.
And playing like in a big band, it's so exciting. All this energy and strength and power. And, you know, women can be a part of that. We have strength. We mm-hmm. have power. We can produce the kind of commitment and courage
right.
that men have playing jazz. We can produce that.
Ebony, let me go over to Ebony here. To what extent are listeners and fans of the music, to what extent are they willing to pay to hear women play, Ebony? Have you noticed any issue there?
No, I haven't. And I mean, I think sometimes when there is somebody that is quote unquote different, you know, an exception, or like, oh my gosh, there's a female piano player, there's a female horn player, there's a, you know, coming. I think sales are increased because it's something new and exciting and not the same, you know what I mean? And so,
right.
As far as instrumentalists, and I definitely, you know, whenever I can, if anyone comes through town, try to support. And, you know, again, it's different from a vocalist standpoint, but, you know, I'm definitely a supporter of my my female counterparts on the you know, instrument side.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Hey, have you noticed, Ariana? Have you noticed anything when it comes to how much interest is there among the music listening crowd to come hear women players?
Kind of along the same lines what Ebony was saying. I think it interests people.
Yeah.
And it's different. They don't get to see that every day.
Yeah. Well, before we go any farther, let's listen to some more music from one of our guests here this morning. This is Ebony Fondren and the Kansas City Jazz Orchestra. This is Ain't Nobody Like My Baby.
Ain't nobody like my baby. He's my favorite guy. Ain't nobody like my baby. He's my favorite guy. He's got two big arms that'll hold me, takes me to paradise.
Well, Ebony, there's no reason anybody would want to come hear that. That sounds pretty good. Yeah.
Thank you.
So what else needs to happen to change this going forward, Ebony, when it comes to club owners? What needs to happen?
I mean, I don't know. I guess just maybe programming and just thinking outside the box a little bit, you know, but... There's been a fire lit for me, just wanting to sort of dig a little deeper and maybe go on the education level and just as women go out and talk to young girls and just sort of let them know that this is here, it's in your city. I have friends who are educators, women educators, teaching music, and you know, and just I think that we just need to, I guess, start another women in jazz movement.
Yeah.
To just, you know, I mean, I just think it's important that young girls know that there are women in a scene, in a jazz town. So if you have an interest, you know, we're here and we want you to come out. And, you know, they're coming out. And I used to host jam sessions, and it always makes me so excited to see young women, instrumentalists that come out, and I want to encourage them. And,
right.
You know, we can't do anything about old attitudes and ideals and people that are just sort of set. But what we can do is, you know, work in today and sort of help educate those coming up.
We're going to have to leave it there. That's Ebony Fondren, the singer, pianist Leslie McLean, saxophonist Ariana Namati. We're going to go out with the Leslie McLean Trio, and this is the trio featuring Molly Hammer live at the Black Dolphin. This track is I Like a Little Romance in My Life, and I want to thank all our guests for coming on. And folks, go out and hear some female players. You won't be disappointed. They're just terrific. Maybe we just need to begin thinking differently about all this. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks, Steve.
My mama, she told me, and I think she meant to scold me. Only one man at a time anymore is such a crime that society would crumble, the universe crumble.
Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.